With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 5th of October, 2021. And my name is Patrick Smith. We're back. You can catch us as usual through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, your normal podcast provider, SoundCloud, and on YouTube, where you can see our faces and maybe a video or two. We're here to discuss what was a triumphant homecoming for the Belfast Giants in a mixed weekend of games in the Challenge Cup as they took on Omar Pasha's Dundee once again, but this time in a home-and-home series. We're going to be joined later on for interviews with the likes of Adam Keefe, Lewis Hook, Jeff Baum, and Tyler Bescarani. But let's start with the two gentlemen in front of me. Mr. McGimsey, how are you? Good to see you the weekend.
Yes, it was lovely to be home. A homecoming for the Giants, a homecoming for you, and a homecoming for me. It's been a long time since the whole AVFPB team were in the same place. I think somebody said it was the playoffs, 2019, possibly. It's been a long time, but it was definitely nice to be home, that's for sure.
It was. Joe will be joining us later on in the show. Mr. Kitchen, good to see you. Back behind the mic, how did that feel?
Yeah, it was good, actually. It was a good crack. We'll go on to talk about it. It was a good first period, bit scrappy after that, but you know, the wins are in, and it was just good to get behind the mic again. And obviously, Davey was there with me, so it was all good.
Absolutely. Well, let's get stuck straight in, shall we? The Belfast Giants returned to action at the SSE Arena on Friday night against Omar Pasha's Dundee Stars. I really forgot the name of the team, the Dundee Stars. And it was a fantastic 2-0 win for the Belfast Giants. Goals coming from JJ Pickenich and the Lewis Hook roofing it to make it 2-0. No goals for the Dundee Stars. Adam Morrison, 32 shots against, 2 goals against. Tyler Bescarani with the shutout, 25 shots in that shutout. Davey, listen, the atmosphere coming into the arena, the amount of people that were coming into the arena, the atmosphere had picked up. A lot of people very excited to get back in to the SSE Arena, not least ourselves. It was a great crowd, and the first period was a fantastic period to watch.
Yeah, I think it was slightly over 5,000 people in the arena, considering the Northern Ireland executive had just released updated the regulations to allow more people in. I don't know what it was, probably maybe about 1,500 expected at the start of the week. And, you know, to credit to the organization for jamming so many people in. COVID regulations are obviously going to be something that'll be looked at the whole way along, but everything seemed to go really well. The atmosphere was great. Quite emotional. I spoke, me and Simon were on the podcast and we had to do a bit of chat before the game, and we talked about the emotions of ourselves and getting back into the arena again, seeing so many sort of old faces and some new faces, and we're always treated really well when we're over in Belfast. So it was great. But like, onto the game, came out with a nice fast start, as you would expect with the home crowd after being away so long. And I think it was Dylan Lawrence took a tripping penalty, and the Giants worked that power play goal really well, which they have done, especially that line has started really well in the special teams. Certainly with the extra man, we'd go on the penalty kill, I suppose, across the weekend. But really, really nice play. And then just coming up the round of period, like, really beautiful pass from Mark Garside, splitting the ice, and Boucher going in and feeding Lewis Hook, and my goodness, a CNI puck right into the top corner. Beautiful, right over Morrison's shoulder. Nothing he could do with that from in tight in the slot. But then the game went, as Simon said just before the start there, the game kind of petered out. Yes, both teams had opportunities, but Besko just didn't look. He was so aggressive, out the top of his blue paint so many times. Made a couple of absolutely great saves. I remember one shoulder shot. I don't know why I'm putting my own shoulder up there, but one left shoulder save towards the end of the game. because Dundee get a goal back, and all of a sudden it's a different game. You know, they're only pushing for one goal. They get to pull the goalie and stuff. Tried to pull the goalie, but that didn't really work. But turnover of the puck, and Belfast Giants had opportunities again. But like Morrison had a really good game too. I think, you know, I'm not sure who picks Man of the Match, but Morrison would have been a good enough shout for it. He faced an awful lot of rubber, dealt with everything, was shot high on him quite a lot, and a few over the bar. But we had plenty of opportunities. Look, it's one of those, a 2-0 shutout win in your first game in the barn for a long, long time. A lot of boys making their debut in Belfast was a really, really nice evening's work.
Simon, you know, Davies pointed the goals there, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see those goals. But defensively, I thought the Giants were excellent. You know, we got Kieran Long back on D, and that's the first chance I've really had to watch Griffin Reinhardt, who I thought was superb.
Yeah, I mean, Davey and I chatted about this the other day as well. Reinhardt is he's just quality, absolute quality. But yeah, I think you're right, Paddy. You know, defensively, we're very strong, and that starts with the forwards. You know, they were coming back and making sure they were covering their point man. You know, coming down low, picking the puck up. I mean, we talked about Garside, we're starting that move, but it's all about the quick puck movements from Baum to Garside to Boucher. Boucher strides through the middle and makes a great dish to Lewis Hookfer. I mean, we were right behind that puck, Davey, and it was a great finish. Top corner over Morrison. Again, Davey's right. Morrison had a pretty good game. But to be honest, I don't think Besko, okay, put up a couple of saves, and that's what he gets paid for, in the words of Roy King. But, you know, I don't think he was tested enough. I thought we looked in control of the game at all times. And again, with only 2-0 up, it is a difficult one. You know, as Davey touched on there, if they get a goal back, you just don't know which way that game's going to go. But, you know, defensively, we were very, very strong on Friday night. You know, Adam touched on it during the week and making sure that, you know, you're doing your own job, concentrating on what you've got to do yourself. You know, we're being obviously with Ben Lake down and Cam Knight still to make his debut. You're still playing two short and ports short. It's always difficult. There was times when again as the game went on, I just thought we looked a bit leggy. And even to be honest, I thought that carried through until Sunday, which we will go on to talk about it. I did think that we didn't really have the energy in Sunday, and it was a difficult. It's always a difficult trip to make across the sea. But Friday night, it was just brilliant to everybody be in the arena again. We talked about it last week, and I thought there was a pretty good crowd in for 6:20 when they stepped out onto the ice, and there was a big enough chair. And just a few of the boys did notice that. They mentioned about it on the after the game as well. So overall, you know, 2 points was the most important thing. It gave us 6 for the 3 games out of 3 in the Challenge Cup so far. And again, for me, it was a solid performance. You got what, you know, you expected. You expected a win coming in the arena on Friday night, and it was great to get off to a good start.
That first period, David, and Simon's mentioned it there as well, the game did sort of peter out after the energy that was in that first period. Was that so much of the Belfast Giants toiled to try to find that next goal, or do you think that Dundee stood up well?
No, and one chance that really springs to mind was the only time I can remember Besko, okay, they rang the post a couple of times, and I'll give Besko the benefit of the doubt in the first one. I think he had it covered. The second one's a good opportunity that they've missed. They froze Besko on the ice, and they had an open net. Can't remember who it was, but he shot it over the top, says. I don't know if you can remember, right towards the end of the game, and that makes a big, big difference for them. So I'm sure Pash will look back and he'll watch the game again, and he'll see opportunities they had. They had, in Songe, I think, probably their outstanding player on the night. I thought he was really good. Cancampera, I thought, had a really good game. Haas is a real agitator that I'm not sure he's willing to back up, whether he'll back up against the big lads or not, or whether he's, you know, he's happy to go and agitate it with the likes of a Jordan Boucher to try and get a reaction and draw a penalty, whether what his exact role is. Charlie Coombs, obviously, was seen on Sunday night, the damage he can do, but I thought he had a really good game as well. Now, some of them are quite small in stature, and that's probably why they find their way in the IHL as opposed to maybe different leagues. But they played really, really well at times, and they transitioned the puck a lot differently from... They also did a lot the same that they did the previous weekend, where they gave us the blue line up. They dropped off very, very quickly and gave us the blue line, allowed us to set up good attacking plays within their zone. But they also did different things And they made massive adjustments, which we'll come on to on Sunday night. They made huge adjustments in their style of play for Sunday. But as Simon has alluded to there was probably an awful lot of emotional energy drained out of the guys with it being the home opener. Not trying to find an excuse for Sunday night, but probably quite a draining night, day off, Sunday travel day, and then trying to kick on against the team you've played three times in sort of 8 days. You know, it can be a bit wearing there as well. But, you know, we know what we've got to do in the first month of the season. We've got Fife four times. We've got Dundee four times. Might be a bit boring at times, but, you know, these guys are trying to stake a claim to be Belfast Giants. That I felt at times on Saturday or on Friday night, there was an opportunity for a new hero to step forward. And I know everybody likes a bit of a dig in Belfast. And I thought at times some of the scrums and stuff may have developed into something else, didn't end up happening. But I was overall pretty happy with coming away from the arena with what I'd seen. We dealt with everything that Desjardins, that's another one. I thought he had a really, yeah, really good game as well. You could name three or four stars that had quality games, but I think we dealt with everything that threw at us pretty well. Simon's already said as well about Besco never majorly troubled anything that was really put on him. He saved with his positioning so beautiful.
That you touched on it, David. The position, there was one in the third period. They had a chance. They were on the power play. They went from east to west very, very quickly. Besco had to go post to post and made a great save. But again, it's his positioning makes that look easy.
Yeah, it's. I think that Jordan Boucher obviously stood out with regards to the amount of fans that were really enjoying the way that he's playing, heart in his sleeve, getting drive in the net, really showing a bit of toughness in his play as well. Has a great shot on him. There was a real, I was talking to some of the guys, you know, in the period breaks, and I spent the second period down with my friends by the bridge, and they were just, you know, singing Boucher's praises more, and Griffin Reinhardt more or less every time they hit the ice. And but Simon, you know, from your perspective as a former player as well, and, you know, being in the room, these guys are, you know, a lot of these guys are imports coming in there. To us, this was a very emotional game. 18 months without a game at the SSE Arena, and some of the guys in there will know what that means. And maybe some of them haven't had that much hockey to play. But coming into an arena like that, do you think there was an emotional element to the game for them?
I think so. I mean, they're all coming in to play their first game at home, you know, so they want, I mean, at the end of the day, hockey players want to be adored and want to be loved. And, you know, if they're feeling loved, they'll play better, hopefully. You know, it showed on at 6:20 when all the fans were in the arena for the start of warm-up. And you know, you genuinely build off that energy as well. It's you know, I really thought Pekanić has been excellent since he's come in. And you know, just looking at him around the dressing room and on game days. I mean, I was standing beside Hookie on, I actually think it may have been last Friday morning, on the morning of the game, and they were coming out for morning skate. And we were just standing beside, I was standing one side of the door on the way on the ice, Hookie was standing at the other side of the door, and we just heard these feet step running. I looked around, his bush flying up, just running straight out through the door. And you know, you just seen the energy that he wanted to have coming onto the ice, and you know, I bring it all day long. And you know, you've seen a couple of incidents on Friday and Sunday nights that Haas was, you know, he was getting under their skin. I don't understand why Haas is such a, you know, he basically wants to get at Boucher. Boucher has no interest in fighting him. Haas just wanted, I mean, he took a stupid penalty at the end of that game. I still can't believe he only got 2 minutes for it. And Boucher got 2 minutes and 2 minutes earlier in the game, and he didn't do anything wrong. I'm not allowed to have a go at the officials. I'm not leading it into you two having a go at them. But, you know, one of those ones where, you know, Dave and I talked about it. You take one guy, you've got to take the other guy. You've got to take the other guy if he does something wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. So for me, it was a soft call on both penalties for Boucher, which would let us into another two power play opportunities. But, you know, overall, you know, if he's going to be like that and buzzing around the ice and he's bringing speed, he's bringing energy all day long. As I say, he reminds me of a Darryl Lloyd player. And, you know, I think he's maybe, I'm not having a go at Loiter, but I think he's got maybe a wee bit more skill and that guy than Loiter did as well. So, as I say, all day long.
Yeah, so that was a 2-0 homecoming victory for your Belfast Giants. Fred mentioned the referees were Andrew Dalton. I think that was Stefan Hogarth with a big flow of hair coming out the back of his helmet. Magnificent, that was magnificent. The highlights, of course, are from our friends at Belfast Giants TV, and you can see the post-game interviews on the Elite League Twitter site. And we move on to Sunday. Sunday, the Belfast Giants returned to the DIA. Unfortunately, this time it was a defeat for your Belfast Giants. 4-2 to the Dundee Stars. Belfast goals coming from David Goodwin on the power play and Sam Roop in defence, the big number two, scoring the Giants' second goal. Regards to the Dundee Stars, Charlie Coombs with two goals, both on the power play. Timmy Latnan with one and an empty netter from Dylan Lawrence. In goals, Adam Morrison, 51 shots against. So no lacking in shots against Adam Morrison, two goals against. And the other side, Jackson Whistle, 36 shots against, three goals scored. Referees are Pavel Hallis and Daniel Ferguson. Now, interesting where I can start here, Simon. I'll go to you first on this, because the Giants, the Dundee Stars were in their third game in 3 days, and that should have worked in the Giants' favour. It didn't really. Where do you think it went wrong?
A 3-3 does it. Okay, yes, I know you're using up an awful lot of energy. I don't think they used an awful lot of energy against Fife the night after on the Saturday night. And sometimes, I've said this a million times, hockey players just want to play games. They're not really that interested in practice. They just want to play games. 3-3 can galvanize a team. They come out okay. Two and one over the weekend. Obviously, we beat them Friday night. But getting those 2 points against Fife on Saturday and the Challenge Cup, and then going on and getting the games on Sunday. But we touched about him earlier on. Charlie Coombs, this kid is outstanding. I mean, I was really, really impressed with him on Friday night. And we're just watching it there now as he comes out and scores the first goal of the night on Sunday. He's got everything. He's only 5'6", but he's got, he's big kahunas, as you want to say. He gets stuck in. He's not afraid to take a hit. He'll take a hit to make a play. He'll go on here and watch him play. Let's get a second power play goal of the first period. He just steps inside there, and I think Wes is going to want that one back. He's right on the post. There's not much space to throw that up there, and he sticks it right in the top corner. And then, you start the game as – with 2-0 down, it's an early start. The boys are, you're straight. I know they got to Glasgow, got a bit of lunch and headed straight up the road for a 5 p.m. face-off. It's not ideal with a long day of travel, and especially, they've got to be at the SSE Arena for 6:15, I think it was. So, up from potentially 12 hours before the game, not getting a nap, all right, you got a chance to lie down in the bus, but that is really not ideal for the boys. And I sort of felt a bit, again, I touched on it earlier on, I thought they looked a wee bit leggy. 2-0 down, not ideal, as I've said. But we did really well to come back into it. The second period, the first, was it 5 penalties in the first period we got, Davey?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we really need to touch on too, Sam, the discipline in the first period. The games are ref slightly different. We're not allowed to, as you say, games are ref slightly different in Scotland, there's no doubt. And that's a learning curve that boys have to learn, but back to you.
Yeah, no, the 5 shorthanded opportunities, like, you're playing half the period shorthanded. That's not good for anybody. Again, it shortens the bench with regards to who you're putting out there, and it does take a bit of energy out of you as well. But as I say, we did well to come back in the second period. We got a power play goal to start it off with. I think it was Nakuti got the first goal, and then Sam Roop gets one to tie things up. And we go into the third. I genuinely thought we were the better team in the third. We had more opportunities. I thought we pushed forward at speed. But then you let up a bad goal. Again, Jackson will be very disappointed with that third goal. He's shooting it from 40 feet in an angle. And again, it's just one of them ones where he's going to want it back. And look, it's a free-for-all when they get an empty netter. So it was disappointing to lose out. I thought we were right in that game there. Sorry, Jimmy.
I didn't know, just coughing, sorry.
I thought we were right in the game, and giving that up with 2 minutes or 2:15, I think it was, on the clock to go, that's a real killer, a real challenge to get back at it. Again, not much time to push forward, and you've got a hand. We talk about what we did wrong. I thought the Dundee Stars played really, really well. Morrison was strong in net. Defensively, they looked you know, they look sound. They, you know, Poirier is a decent player. Concampera was, you know, making and using himself, as was Haas. And, you know, Ingles basically does what he does as well. So you've got to pat them in the back. They deserve the points on the night. They played better than us. It's that simple overall. And we move on.
Davey, the statistics show that Adam Martian saved a lot of rubber. Did the Giants have their opportunities to take this game and just weren't able to?
Look, whenever you look back at the numbers between shots on, shots off, shots blocked, you know, we've put nearly 100 shots on the Dundee net. So we have to look at various things as to why the puck didn't go into the net that night. Was it traffic? Was it this? Was it that? Was the goaltender really that good? One thing for me, which Simon never touched on, with maybe 5 minutes left in the game, and the Giants were really putting the foot down, and Morrison wasn't feeling well or was fatigued or whatever it was, and the refs allowed a pretty long stoppage, and he regained his composure, regained, maybe got a bit of fluids on board, had a couple of, I don't know, maybe they were paracetamol or you know, I'm trying to think of the word for hydration tablets or whatever. You know, he's playing 3 and 3 nights. He's obviously fatigued. He's faced a lot of rubber on Friday night. I don't know exactly whether he played. I'm assuming he played the 60 minutes on against Fife, and then he's in the 55 difficult minutes against us, because the Belfast Giants through that second period really put the foot on the gas to come back into it. And then the third period, they were pushing. We're pushing for the win. Obviously, we're not looking to go to overtime. Obviously, and I actually felt, I think I texted you guys on our little group on Sunday night, whenever he had gone down for so long, this is an opportunity here. This, you know, we're going to go on and win this. And credit to them, yes, they broke down the left wing and they fired that shot in over Wiss's shoulder. He's got a glove on, it's sort of bounced in. I think Simon mentioned that he'll probably want to get another go at a couple of those goals. But that's hockey, you know. I thought the difference for the first few games, I think we played four against the Stars now, so the first three, the difference that they had where they came to our blue line with speed, chased and got second chance opportunities, recovered the puck in our zone, got it back to the blue line for the first one they've dumped in, and can't remember, is it Dylan Lawrence perhaps has gone in and fed it back to Coombs as the fifth man in the zone, and he has rattled it from the top of the circles to get them one ahead. The second one, we played differently on our penalty kill on Sunday night than we have in the first four games. I think we played slightly different defensively with the games with Wiss in nets than we do with Besko in nets. Now, that's not a criticism of Wiss's goalie. I think we've played a slightly different formation in our penalty kill. We were more passive in it, and Goody kind of allows Coombs to skate around the top of the circle because he's stopping the pass back to the point, which is fine. Rainer's coming across looking to block, and there's nowhere else. We're actually quite well set. There's no pass back to the point. The shot, the only shot that Coombs has is that into the top corner over Wissel's shoulder, and he manages to find, you know, we talk about Hookie scoring an absolutely fantastic goal. Sometimes you tip your cap sometimes you tip your cap to the guy going in. He's got 2 inches to put that puck in, and he's put it there. That's put them we're behind the 8 ball. The rest of the game, we're now chasing. And we've came out pretty well in the second period, and we've got ourselves back into the game. That's probably one of the disappointments for Kiefer. It will be that we had adversity, we had a lot of indiscipline in the first period, cut it out, second period, nothing at all. And we've got ourselves back into the game. And to cough up that opportunity, and then, you know, with empty net goals are what they are. It's really a one-goal game, lopsided scoreline with the empty netter there. We've threw the extra man on. We've had a shot through traffic. It hasn't happened. You know, 5-on-4 versus 6-on-4 or 6-on-5 is a massive difference. You know, that extra body, shots from the point, they get blocked. They get the opportunity to go up and chip it into the empty net. It puts a bit more of a lopsided slant on the score. Not overly disappointed, because we did have a lot of offense. Disappointed that we didn't convert. You know, I think our conversion rate's something like 3% on Sunday night. 80, 90 shots, you've got to be scoring more than 2 goals, and that's just the hard, cold facts of hockey.
Just briefly, because I just want to get things moving along. There was an incident last week, which was all over social media, and regards to Kevin Rayne and a hit that took place in that game. This weekend, there was a hit on Tyler Soy from Cal Haas that looked a bit off, Davey.
I didn't like the hit from Haas on Soy for one reason, and it's because it's a north to south hit. Soy is skating through and over the blue line and has a shot which Haas has gone down the block, one knee, and as Soy releases his shot, he comes up off his knees, and if you're watching this on YouTube, he elevates into the hit, and it's as clear as day, shoulder, principal point of contact's the head. Now, the refs have... I don't think there's any penalty in the play. Soy's clearly rocked because he stays down for a few seconds before he gets himself off to the bench. I don't know if he returned to any part of the game after that or not. No, that was the end of the night for him. I don't like those hits. There's no such thing. I haven't got the rule book in front of me, but the rule book certainly came out last season in any IIHF stuff. There is no such thing as a clean hit to the head. There's no mitigation. We talked last week on the show about the Ben Make hit, for example, where players don't put themselves in a vulnerable position and players don't hit players in a vulnerable position. I don't particularly think that Haas can't make some form of contact because there's a shot in on his goalie. He's now out of play because he's gone down on one knee. Soy can skate around him and take a rebound. So he has to, your coach would, you'd be benched if you don't make the play, but he's hit him in the head. So and there's no such thing as a clean hit the head. I don't know whether Dops are looking at that again, what the Dops remit is this season, whether coaches have to put it in. I wouldn't be certain that we'd put anything in, but I don't know. I just don't like it. It's not a clean hit, and that's just all I got to say on that. Simon?
I do think that, Haas has got to try and block the shot.
Yep.
At the end of the day, he's got to stand up. I don't think he blocked it, but, at the end of the day, he's making the decision for Soy. He's going to shoot the puck around him.
Yeah.
I don't think Tyler did himself any favors. He's coming through the middle of the ice with his head down. I'd have hit him. As a defenseman, you've got to stand up. So, it's never nice to see a kid get, anybody get hurt on the ice. It's the worst thing ever. And he did not return. My understanding is, I'm pretty sure the Dops, anybody that's injured during the game, Dops have said that they will look at the incidents this season. I don't know if they knew that the Tyler was injured in the game. I have no idea. But I can, he definitely was. He did not play another shift after that. I'd have to wait to see what Mike Hicks and Dops are doing about it. But I don't think Tyler did himself any favors when he came through the middle of the ice with his head down. And Haas.
I kind of disagree with you there, Simon. I don't think he has his head down per se. He's had the shot, so he's leading with his head, if you know what I mean. I know his head's down, but it's not that he's came down and he's looking at the ice. So he's leant into the shot, so he's forward. And he gets stung. He's leading with his head, but his head's not dying as such.
Okay, again, I know what you mean, but he's got his head down. If he's got his head up, if he's sitting, standing upright, and he's shooting the puck, he's not going to get nailed. He's going to get hit right in the chest. He is leaning forward to get the shot off, but we talk about guys on the boards and protecting themselves. It's exactly the same situation, center.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree.
Chris Higgins was very, very good at it. The amount of people that always tried to hit Chris Higgins and made fools out of him because he did have his head up. How many times you see Chris coming across the blue line and get hit? Not very often. Might get something on him, but there's not very often that he get rocked. It's one of those things. But Tyler's still a young lad, and again, hopefully he is okay. But I think if he's going to do that again, he's going to keep his head on. Sometimes you've got to learn the hard way. You've got to get rocked before you realize that the next time you do that, you've got to keep your head up.
Quick look on the Elite League website. There's still no Dops, nothing from that on that. So we'll keep you in tabs on at AVFTB if there's anything comes from the Dops on regards to that hit by Haas on to Tyler Soy. We'll move it along, gents. Highlights from Dundee Stars TV and the post-game interviews for Omar Pasha and Adam Kiefer and the Elite League Twitter site. Big thanks to Dundee Stars and Jans TV for the goal highlights that we got on our YouTube channel. A quick look at the challenge, because obviously we're just playing Challenge Cup. Quick look at the Challenge Cup table, and it stands 4 games played for the Belfast Giants, 6 points. Dundee, 4 games played and 4 points. And the Fife Flyers, 2 games played and yet to put a point on the board. Only, I think it's only just one teamer eliminated from this, aren't we? There's just one team eliminated. Yeah, I'd say so. And we move on. At the weekend, obviously on Friday, it was a great day for the Belfast Giants to get back into the SSE arena, and considering everything that's gone on, it's been a tough 18 months for the Giants, but also a tough 18 months for the organization. And Simon had a chance last week before the game on Friday to sit down with the CEO of the Odyssey Trust. That's, of course, Robert Fitzpatrick.
Delighted to be joined by Robert Fitzpatrick, the CEO of the Odyssey Trust. Robert, it's been a long, long time here since we're lucky enough to have a hockey game at the arena. You know, the Odyssey Trust have been on board now for, it's approaching, is it 10th year or 9th year? And your vision over the years has been, it's getting bigger and bigger. I'm sure you, the way the situation is sitting right now, you must be very happy to be back. And looking to build on what's happened in the previous years.
Thanks, Simon. It's great to be sitting here this morning watching the guys on the ice. The you can feel the whole atmosphere starting to build. But I suppose we wouldn't be here without the hard work of a whole raft of people. I mean, 2 months ago we were the biggest vaccination centre in Northern Ireland. We vaccinated 400,000 people. We played our part in the pandemic, and now, thankfully, as of Monday past, the cap's been lifted, so hopefully the old girl will be full on Friday night and we'll have the Giants and the boys are back in town, you know. It couldn't have been done without the huge efforts that my teams have put in place. You know, the role that Sinead and her team has done with the rebrand. You know, Adam and Steve and Jeff and Rob for the team they've put together. Glover and the boys for all of the work they've done for ops. It's been fantastic. And last but not least, you know, the work that you boys do. I mean, I don't ever take it for granted. I think the most telling thing that Paddy said last week when he went first season was, this is the first of 30 weeks. And that makes somebody like me very humble when you know that there's 30 guys, that for the next 30 weeks you're going to have 4 guys that just love hockey and love this club, are going to give up their Wednesday nights to talk about it. And it's something that it's something that needs to be recognised, and you have my personal thanks for all of the efforts that you do for the Belfast Giants.
Well, I was thinking, speaking on behalf of Paddy, Davey, myself and Joel, we really do appreciate that. And you know, we're all fans, and this club wouldn't be in the position that we're at without the fans.
Let's be very clearly honest with each other, Simon. I mean, if we don't have fans, we don't have a club. I from the DNR, we took responsibility for running the club. I said from day one it was about the fans, and the rebrand, it's all about the fans. We're 21, coming of age. We have put another raft of big expectations on ourselves, but be under no illusion. For as long as I have direction in the way that this club is run, it will be a fan first club. That's the way it has to be.
You know, you look over down the years what we've brought to the SSE Arena. From an ice hockey standpoint, yes, we've had the Giants, we've had success from that side of things, the NCAA tournament, we've got the ladies NCAA tournament that's been here, the Continental Cup, with Champions League obviously the year before last and hopefully next season. You know, but all those developments that have happened in the past, you must be immensely proud of, but what else is going to, what's next?
Well, I mean, you can't sit on your laurels, Simon. I mean, yes, I do take a bit of pleasure from people telling me it could never be done, and then we do it, and that will continue. You know, there will be a friendship for in 2022, And there'll be three of the teams that'll be returning have already been here. There'll be some exciting news on an upcoming tournament in November, and I'm not saying anything other than that. It's embargoed at the moment. And then we have some exciting work ahead of us now around developments in the building to recognise the fact that we are a very successful elite league club. We finally believe now we found the proper way to tell the story of the Giants over the last 21 years, and fans will be able to come and see that in the flesh on Friday night. A View from the Bridge Live will have its own studio in future, because we've built a studio on the bridge. So we'll be able to do A View from the Bridge Live from the studio anytime we want. And then I suppose the biggest single change, and people will see it on Friday night, are the new images for the new Giant Sports Bar that will be built in the arena in the next 3 months.
You know, we're sitting here, the practice has just finished, there's still six or seven of the boys still on the ice. Adam has been through a few things with some of the players, and it's a work in progress. I mean, we're sort of getting pushed out of the way here because everybody's getting rigging up for Friday night. It'll be 584 days since our last game here at the SSA Arena. There's been a lot of changes around the arena, and there's been a lot of changes from your team behind the scenes as well. But it's all those people that put together the Belfast Giants, not just the guys on the ice, but the whole collective.
It's a juggernaut, and I mean, I think the general emotion that's flowing through the building at the minute is one of exciting anticipation. We've had to work very hard, but the last 18 months, I would say, has always been about opportunity. Believe it or believe it not, in the last 18 months there's been over £30 million invested in the site. There's been £7 million invested in W5 to make it a 21st century state-of-the-art experience. By the time we're finished in the arena here, we'll have dropped another £2 million quid. And they've spent the best part of £25 million put next door in the pavilion getting it ready, with new anchor tenants such as Cineworld, Hollywood Bowl, and a lot of more exciting things to happen. So you could nearly say, Simon, 21 years on, we're at last starting to see what this place can really be, which is a world-class facility that the Giants, the fans, the city, Northern Ireland, Ireland can be proud of.
You touched on the 21 years of Belfast Giants, and there was a lot of history in that 21 years, and three or four years into that, it looked like the Belfast Giants were going to be no more, and lucky enough, Sir Jim Gillespie stepped in, and I know you want to have a word about him, because we're delighted that he's going to be here this weekend.
Well, let me be very clear about this. I said it at the time, and nothing has ever changed. Jim Gillespie is the president of the club and will always be the president of the club for as long as Jim Gillespie wants to be the president of the club. The man, there's no words that I can come up with that would do justice to what Jim did here. It's been a long time from I've seen him. Him and Mitzi are going to be here on Friday night, health provision in place. It'll be great to see him. And any chance that I get to remind anybody of just how important he is, I'll take. I have the highest regard for him. What he did here can never be forgotten, and I know that with the work that you did back in the time to get him into the Ice Hockey Hall of Fame, that was acknowledged. But it is one of the pleasures of opening night that we will have Jim here to celebrate with us.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And, when we look at the overall picture, again, we talk about that long layoff of the pandemic and getting back on Friday evening. The Dundee Stars come in here, successful against the Dundee Stars last weekend. But, again, every game that you step onto the ice and talk about the Belfast Giants, coming home. It's getting near and it's getting real.
Yeah. The only thing that I don't want to replicate from the first night of hockey in Belfast was the result. So I'd like it if we have the perfect hand this time, where we launch a new brand to the fans. They get a flavour of the new space we've created. We have our new team in the ice with our new home jersey. We've got all of the changes with our new personnel. And no pressure on the guys, but a wee win wouldn't be a miss as well. That would be the perfect night. There's a lot of people coming on Friday night to the game that I've never seen hockey before. We've a couple of ministers. We've got a new chairman. We've got a lot of the people that are coming in from the Fresh Start program. So, you know, we've a chance to showcase what we believe to be a mainstream sports brand in Northern Ireland now. And I believe that we've the team in place to make sure that we do that.
We've talked about the fans, we've talked about the team. The whole aspect of the Belfast Giants is hugely important regarding the money that comes into the club, and that is a major talking point when it comes to sponsorship. We are very, very lucky to have so many returning sponsors again this year, and a lot of new sponsors have come on board, but without the support of the corporate market in Northern Ireland as a whole, again, this becomes an awful lot harder.
Well, I mean, you know, they are essentially the reason why we can put ex-NHL players and ex-DAL players on the ice. They're the reason why we can, you know, afford to develop the arena in such a positive way for the experience. But let's be very clear. They're as much a part of our club belief as the fans, the players, the management, the staff are. Because the sponsors, let's be honest, the sponsors get it. I look at the rink every season, and it's the same names that I see. Well, that tells me that we're doing something that we should be proud of. It tells me that those brands are getting value from being associated with this great club. And to be quite frank and honest with you, long may that continue. I suspect there's a number of brands who would love to be associated with this club, and it'll only be a matter of time as we continue to grow. The boot room philosophy hasn't changed. We grow from within, and if people start to recognise that and come on board with that, then they'll start to see the rewards that some of our long-time sponsors have seen. And I have to pay tribute to a certain extent. You've been a long-term sponsor with Phonicab. You're now working in the club to drive the next level of new involvements, and quite frankly, long may that continue. But the Phonicabs, the Stenalines, the Heinekens, the Dealies, the Harry Corries of this world, all of those guys are every bit as much a part of the Giants family as everybody else is.
Well, we're just sitting here in the arena now. The noise has went a little bit below than what it was with the puck being bandied about, and I'm sitting looking up at the sign, the home of the Belfast Giants, and it's just hit home that we're coming back.
And for me, I just can't wait now. I mean, I just think that 542 days, when people land here with us on Friday night, after the puck drops, those 542 days will just be a really bad memory.
Big thanks to Robert Fitzpatrick for his time, and also a big thanks to him. He invited us up onto the bridge in the first period break. Did we catch you out again there, Davey?
No, I really, I'll let you go on. I really, really, really appreciate what he did, but I'm not comfortable in those situations whatsoever.
Well, he invited us up onto the bridge, presented us with these lovely T-shirts, which I'm modelling if you're watching on YouTube. And just said a few kind words about what we do with the Belfast Giants. And you're right, you know, I was grateful. We are absolutely massively grateful to Robert Fitzpatrick for the support he gives us here on A View from the Bridge. It'd be wrong to say otherwise, but, you know, we're just a small part of what is a massive, massive machine with regards to the Belfast Giants and the volunteers and everything, the people who put their heart and soul into this club because they love this club as much as we do. They want this club to succeed as much as we do. And those guys are coming into the arena on Friday and seeing just basically the same faces, the same volunteers doing the same jobs. And these are the people, not not just the people like behind the scenes, like Michael Barr and the guys who are doing a great job with regards to the operations, Glover, and putting this all together, but just the 50-50 sellers, or the guys on the OSC desk, the guys, just you can see the same faces, the same love for the club being part of it. And as much as it was very kind of Robert to invite us up and to say those lovely words for about a view from the bridge, which we really do appreciate, Davey, I'll come back to you. There's so much behind this club. It is a club, it's not an organization, it's not just a team, it is a club.
Yeah, well, we've always been fans and doing this for the fans. What was it we say? By the fans, for the fans, something like that. We do this. It's a labor of love. It can be hard at times. We're maybe a little bit more visible than some of the volunteers, but everyone is equal and as important to this organization as the rest. And like everyone, pretty much got a mention the other night. AVFTB, as you said, the 50-50 Shirley back sellers, Tasman and Cheryl on the bridge and Barzo and everybody that does something, the players, the fans, the orcs, says governor, and one that I highlighted on Twitter the other night, which took off more than I was expecting, in Taff, the work he's done to get the team back out in the ice, lots of skates sharpened, lots. We were down on Friday night after the game, and he was prepping the locker room for the morning skate on Saturday. Everything that guy has in his head, how players, what extra little bits and pieces they like, what are, apart from tiles and, all their little drinks and all, he has it all in his head. So big props to him as well. But yeah, we're very, very blessed that we're part of a really great club.
Sis?
Yeah, I'm just listening to David chatting there. I was sitting with Laura in the locker room after everybody had left, and it was just with the three of us, me, Taff, and Laura, and then Davey shouting, says, he's obviously looking to left home. He walked in, and Taff's putting all the towels and the shirts and everything, the practice shirts and everything, get preparing for going away on Sunday. And he had to go, and I can't remember, he was called out of the room. Somebody, was it Michael Barr?
Somebody was looking at him, yeah.
Somebody called him out of the room, so we decided to try and help, just take a bit of pressure off him. We're not doing a hell of a lot, but we're, lifting the shirts, putting them down where they're supposed to go. And he sort of walked right along behind us and went, "That's not straight enough. You have to straighten it up. Who put that towel there? Who put that towel there? That's not right. I'm not joking. This is how OCD he is. And as Davey says, it's just the way he does. And the R's that he puts in they're just unbelievable. He is some man for one man, believe you me. But just touching on what Robert had said in the interview, I mentioned last week in the podcast, okay, I know I'm working for the arena for the organization now, but I genuinely I didn't realize the enormity of the whole thing and how many people are involved to get those doors open and what way to go about it and everything. It's just absolutely incredible. And it's literally putting all that together to make sure events like the Belfast Giants game on Friday night against Dundee Stars, and then Saturday night, we were sitting, you guys were up in the West Lounge. I was sitting with Taff literally before everybody had left the arena, because there's still people trying to buy the merchandise on the ground floor. Before they had left the arena, the ice was cut. They were bringing the flooring down ready to put it on for Paddy Ralph, who was on Saturday. The glass was being taken down. The stage was being put up. The whole floor in the arena on the ice, was all being put down. The chairs were put, everything was ready in place for the next day. And by 9 o'clock the next morning, as soon as, Paddy Ralph sound crew walked in, it's all ready to go. It wasn't an ice rink anymore. And that's, that's the bit that a lot of people just don't see. They think it's just an ice rink, or they think it's just a concert venue. It's incredible, the whole aspect of it. And going from doing technically nothing for 18 months like that, it's like putting your coat back on again. That's how easy it is to them, because they're that good at it. So, top leadership from all around. And I'm not just kissing ass here, but it is, the guys at the top, if the guys at the top are doing everything the right way, the guys at the bottom are going to understand it. So it's well put together.
Yeah, it sounds like there's some great things. Go ahead, David. Some great things in the pipeline.
A couple of things Robert mentioned when he had the microphone before the game. Since the Giants played their last game, I think was it against Fife back in March 2020, it was a food bank for a while. Whenever things were going bad at the start of COVID and we needed people needed a lot of support. The arena was there as a food bank. And then when the NHS needed the double jab people, you know, that's the arena wasn't found one. Well, it was the same. Almost 400,000 people got their COVID vaccinations in the home of the Belfast Giants. So you can't say that the Giants haven't done their part over COVID, but it's time for us to take our house back over and start playing again.
Absolutely. Right. Big thanks to Robert for his time as well for that extended interview. Really appreciate it. Briefly, because I know, Davey, you're going to go in a second, but I'm going to run the September's Player of the Month. There were two games in September. September's Player of the Month. I'm going to ask you to give a couple of nominations. I'm going to warn you, our guest from later on the show is watching in the waiting room.
Well,
I'm gonna go to Simon first. Your player of the month,
Lewis Hook. No, I to be honest, Hook, he's been great, and he knows, you know, I pump his tires all the time. But for me, I honestly thought it was Jordan Boucher. I know David Gubbins had a really good start to the season, but it's just Boucher's bringing that little bit that we've been missing for quite a while. I love people that wind guys up. It's just brilliant. And you know, from what I'm hearing in the locker room, he's top notch as well. So, Paddy, you're top troll as well. I get it, absolutely get it. But for me, Jordan Boucher,
Mr. McGimsey, who's going to go with those two games?
Yeah, on those two games, these are the games we kind of analysed last week. Obviously, we had Laker and Hookie starting really fast on the first game, and then that line of Conway, Pickenich, and Goodwin have been outstanding, but I really like Griffin Reinhardt. I love a big D man. We talked about his attributes last week, his speed, how he doesn't look like he's going fast, but he's moving. So, but for me, Lewis Hook, 100%.
Yeah, of course, Lewis Hook is top of my list here as well. But if I was to go for someone other than Lewis Hook, it would be probably Sam Roop. I really enjoyed watching play. Griffin Reinhardt, I thought it was really, really good as well. Defensively, I think we look really, really sound. But those first two games are great to watch. And like I say, Jordan Boucher, I enjoy a wind-up merchant as much as the next man. And on that, we're going to let you go, Davey, and we'll catch up with you next week. We're going to go to some interviews from training. You're going to hear from Adam Keefe, from Tyler Bescarani, and from Jeff Baum.
Tyler, weekend, next weekend, obviously. Tyler, weekend, next weekend, obviously, you had a 2-0 victory over the Dundee Stars, and you get yourself a shutout, or say it's another shutout. And then heading away to Dundee on Sunday. It was a difficult weekend. Obviously, you want to pick up the 4 points, but are you happy with the two, and are you disappointed with the performance on Sunday?
A little disappointed that we didn't get the four. I thought we came out a little slow there on Sunday, but the way the guys battled back from the 2-0, the 2-0 down and came back and got it back to 2-2, I thought we dominated the third period. And it just didn't go our way. They had a couple of drinks at the end there in the third period and just capitalized on one of their chances.
It's been a good start to the season. Obviously, all the Challenge Cup games, you're fifth in a doubleheader this weekend. Away on Friday and home on Sunday. 5-1 victory last week doesn't really come into it.
No, new week, I think they're going to be looking to bounce back as well from their loss against Dundee there on Saturday. They're going to come out strong. They know that they played well against us last time in Fife, and I think we're right now they might see us as the team to beat. So they're going to come out strong like most teams do against us, and so I look forward to a good test Friday, Sunday.
Optional skate today. Obviously, with your assistant coach role now, you obviously have to be on the ice here.
Not necessarily. More of just having the one game last week, I felt like I needed to come back on the ice and feel the puck a little bit out here. So I'm actually surprised there's that many guys out on the ice right now with the number of bodies we have. So it's good though. It's good to see that the guys are committed and either taking care of their bodies off the ice or coming out here for a little extra work and working on a few things that they feel like they need to do.
How are you taking your role as assistant coach this year?
Pretty good. I haven't had many responsibilities so far, but just to be a voice in the room, I think for the guys it goes a long way, and I'll try to help out these guys as much as I can in systems and stuff. So, all in all, it's been pretty good so far.
Cheers, Briscoe.
All right, thank you.
Bomber, weekend again. You've had a couple of trips over now to Scotland on the ferry. How are you settling in?
Really well. I mean, it's a really nice ferry. It's a pretty little ride, and unfortunately, we didn't come out with the outcome we wanted. But everything's been pretty good so far for me personally.
You got the debut in front of the SSE Arena crowd last Friday night, with the victory as well and a shutout. You know, it's always the goalie gets the flawless for the shutout, but the D men play their part.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Besko played an unbelievable game, and he came out ready to go from the get-go, and it helped us to work as a team and come out victorious in that game.
You've had, as I say, you're here now for roughly a month. Yeah. How are you settling in Belfast as a whole?
Loving it. It's a great city, great people here. It's an unbelievable atmosphere to be a part of, and I'm really fortunate to be here.
Your dad seems to be become a bit of a local celebrity while he was here. Yeah. Have you been speaking to him since he went back last week?
Oh, yeah. I try and talk to my parents and everybody back home as much as I can whenever I get the chance to. It's a little bit of a time difference, but he's doing good. He had an unbelievable trip, and all the fans and everybody was really welcome to him, and he's looking forward to getting back out here again.
Fife Friday night and then 5 p.m. on Sunday in Belfast. Looking forward to a couple more games against the Flyers, and hopefully pick up a couple more victories.
Yeah, most definitely. It's really important for us to make sure that we come out ready to go right off the start and be ready to go off the first 5 minutes of the puck drop.
Cheers, Bomber.
Thank you very much.
Adam, next weekend, you big game on Friday night at SSC Arena, your first home game in 19 months, coming off of a 2-0 victory with Dundee Stars and a big crowd. You know, it wasn't hard to get that game.
No, it was certainly one that I think we all had marked on our calendars for too long. And I think the excitement really started to build there, especially as we started to enter the ice there for the start of the game with the lights out, and you've seen the balls bouncing around in the crowd. And what an atmosphere, and it's just nice to get them the win as well for that. And also get that one out of the way. Now, you know, now it's, we're back into, it feels like we've never left. So I think that's important as well, that we kind of get back into the groove.
Sunday again, it was a bit of a different challenge. It's always a difficult place to go into. You had success there last weekend, but again, Dundee, you know, they just they played 3-3 and they just seemed to come out and get a really quick start.
Yeah, I mean, I don't take a whole lot of stock in the 3-3. You know, we had a day off. Sometimes that day off can actually hinder you, especially the way you start when the other team is kind of maybe just, you know, they never lose a step because they played them the night before. So I don't take a whole lot of stock in that. And we knew they were going to come hard. The first home game of the weekend, they hadn't had a win there yet. So I know that we knew they were going to come hard. Unfortunately for us, we didn't match that at the start, but we also took too many penalties in the first period. Started from behind the eight ball, but I was really happy to see that we had some fight back and came back in that game.
You had a couple of injuries. Obviously, Cam Knight still hasn't made his debut for the Belfast Giants yet. But Ben Lake missing out as well. Is there an update on both players?
Ben Lake, we're still waiting on some more words from specialists. But hopefully it's not too long for him. And Cam Knight's skating right now, so we'll just see where he's at in a couple days, and hopefully he's ready for the weekend.
Friday, Fife. Friday evening back at the SSC Arena. No, it's not. It's in Fife. And then again, Fife at Sunday. A different challenge. Again, you know, the result you had there 10 days ago against them doesn't really come into it.
No, I think that, you know, they've been unfortunate there the last few weekends in a row, and I know that you know, Todd will have them under the thumb and motivated to play hard, especially in Fife. And we're going to have to go in there and be ready for a hard game. They're a team with their back up against the wall right now, looking for a win, and we're going to have to be ready and match their intensity.
Thanks, Adam.
No problem.
Thanks to Adam, Jeff, and to Tyler Bescarani. Mr. Neil, how are you?
Hello, my friends. Nice to see you.
How's it going?
I thought that was well. Davey grew a beard listening to that.
The video interviews are legitimate. Another plug to everybody to check out AVFTB on YouTube. I think it's a really cool product at the minute. It's class. Those are great work, sis. Really enjoyed those.
Yeah, I enjoyed them myself.
Things that
hand mics
settle on it, and they just sort of sit on it, the microphone. Sort of holds the camera and it doesn't move.
Yeah. And thanks, Joel, for joining us. We're in a Boston. That's all. purposely because of Wednesday.
Yeah, it's probably going to be bad news tomorrow morning. Yeah, obviously.
No baseball chat. Right, let's get stuck in. We've talked about it earlier on. We're going to the fan agenda brought to you by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. And we are joined this week by a man who took the puck on the left-hand side, fired it over Adam Morrison's shoulder into the roof of the net to make a 2-0 to your Belfast Giants. It is, of course, Lewis Hook. How are you?
Very well. How are you, boys?
Keeping very well. So let's get straight to it. The Belfast Giants returned to SSC Arena action on Friday night, and you got that fantastic second goal. What were your thoughts on the night?
It was a special night. I think that whole day, the whole team kind of had that nervous but excitement energy as well. Not really expecting how the crowd was going to be, but obviously they definitely didn't disappoint. And it was electric the whole night, and obviously it was great to get the 2 points in front of them as well.
What was the atmosphere in the room coming into that game? Because obviously you guys like yourself and Longer and Besko and Darcy, you know, these guys know exactly what it's like in that arena. But given the anticipation building up to this game, you know, how was the atmosphere heading out onto the ice?
Yeah, it was electric. I think, yeah, we expected it, but it's been so long we kind of didn't forget, but it's been such a while that even we were kind of taken back when we kind of skated out there. Even for warm-up, there was a lot of fans in there for warm-up. And especially when we came out for the game, it was surreal and obviously a special night for everyone involved.
All right, love.
All right, darling.
We're going to go to a couple of questions from the Twitter. Thomas Brownlee's asking, how did the lack of pre-season affect preparation? And how did you and the team prep mentally, knowing that the first game was first competitive game, actually, and it was also away?
Yeah, I think it's always tough to tell, like, especially when you're with a new group, how quickly the boys are going to gel. But I think, you know, you've been down the rink and you've seen us all. I think we've gelled super quick, which is huge. And then, you know, we didn't get any preseason games, which doesn't help, but I think Kiefer put in a good couple of weeks of practice. We had that in-house game in the first weekend, which helped. And we put some systems together and everyone took to training really well. And it just clicked on that first night, which is obviously doesn't always happen, but we were obviously grateful and obviously it was good to get the 2 points.
Hooky, we'll get to the Twitter questions, some great ones from the fans in a minute, but I just want to get straight into it. There was an announcement today, obviously, that the Belfast Giants have announced their season-long gym sponsorship with Better Gym. Some really great facilities and stuff there. The Belfast Giants are also back on TikTok. I don't know if you've seen that. I'm assuming from Paddy's face that he has, but do you want to talk to me about that drop slide, mate? Because that was a man under pressure. If you can hit up TikTok and check out the slow-mo videos of the boys going down the drop slide in the pool. There's some boys there take that pretty well, but I don't think you were having a good time there. Can you tell me about that?
You need to ask Kieran Long about it, because he was second to go, but he actually didn't do it the second time.
The concentration on some of the faces was fantastic, but you look petrified, man.
Yeah, I easily the most terrified. Is that fair, or was there anyone else?
Straight down?
Oh yeah, it's straight down.
Yeah, it was straight down. It was scary.
Thanks to Sinead Doyle for that.
It was a good day out. It was a good day.
Those facilities seem fantastic. Also, not only the gym, but also kind of the team building and bits and pieces like that.
Yeah, and they're so important, just as much as like going on the ice and training. Obviously, you know, building that chemistry and that team morale is huge. And I think that, like, going back to the last question, that's what helped with that first weekend, was obviously having those days like that where, you know, you can just kind of take your mind off the hockey and just relax and have a bit of crack with everyone. It definitely helps.
I'm going back to some of the Twitter questions. We've got some really, really good ones coming in. One of them, let me see. So how do you feel that your mentality's changed? Obviously, it's been you know, a year and a half since we've played competitively as the Belfast Giants. You had your own input in the Elite Series and what took place there. But Patrick Walsh is asking, how has your mentality changed coming into this season?
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely not taking anything for granted. Obviously, that 18 months spell and obviously COVID. I think not just for hockey, but for everyone, it kind of made everyone realize that, you know, what we had before and obviously to be grateful. And I think for me personally with hockey, not saying I definitely did take it for granted, but, you know, it opened my eyes to, you know, what life would be like without it. And, you know, it can just go with, you know, so quickly. So just every day that I'm there and around the boys and obviously doing the thing that I love, just to, you know, don't take it for granted, you know, cherish it and obviously, you know, put 100% effort in every day.
What did you take from playing to the empty arena compared to playing in the full one? I mean, talking to some of the guys who played in that, you know, there's just no comparison to it. It was very difficult to get themselves up to playing in that empty arena.
Yeah, definitely. That's the biggest thing. It's just sometimes, you know, not every night you're going to be like, you're not going to have that, you know, oomph to get going and want to play. Not want to play, but like, you know, the motivation's not going to be there, or you feel a little bit flat in yourself. But when you're playing in front of 6,000 people, it's, you know, they kind of boost you there and, you know, it's there. But when you're playing in an empty stadium, you kind of, you know, them nights, it's tough to then get going because, you know, there's no one there to cheer you on. The atmosphere, well, there is an atmosphere, it's very flat. So there's, again, it makes you realize how important having fans in the building is, you know, which maybe before we were so used to it, we didn't really look into it at all. Obviously, there was nights where it was, you know, it was buzzing in there, but we definitely probably took that side of it for granted for sure.
Hookie, I'm just going to go, I was going to ask you my own question of it, but Teal Trooper has sort of covered a bit of it on Twitter. Is there any player or team that inspired you to take hockey up? And my point, on my side point, like question, when you started playing, what age did you start skating at, and how did your development go? And, you know, obviously it was around Peterborough area.
Yeah, so just I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. I think I just went and watched, you know, the team there, Peterborough Phantoms, the senior team there. I just went and watched with my cousin, who his family used to go watch. I knew nothing about hockey. Went and watched, and obviously was playing football at the time, like obviously a lot of kids, and just kind of got hooked to the speed of it and obviously the physicality. And you know, from that day on, kind of went public skating, and it kind of the snow effect from to going back to the first part, I was always watching Phantom every weekend. So that, and then you know, kind of got, when I got a little bit older, David Clark, obviously being from Peterborough, and he was playing in Nottingham, so kind of, you know, he would get me tickets to go and watch them play in the Elite League. And I kind of looked up to him and obviously did some of his camps, so I kind of got to see how he trained and how the pros did it. But between them two, and then obviously just, you know, your own journey going through it. None of my family did it, so I kind of didn't have any inspiration or anything from family. It was just, you know, the years progressing, and obviously you get better and you get more opportunity and you start breaking into those, you know, the international program. And I kind of, you guess, you just get your own motivation to just continue and see how far you can take it, really.
We've talked about it before on various different shows about the efforts that the parents put into it, especially at a young age when you're, you know, you can't obviously tie your own boots well, I don't know, you still struggle with that, but, you know, but obviously everything that goes with it, obviously transporting you about the games and practices and doing the whole thing together. And it's vitally important that you have that support, and lucky enough you had that with your family.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll forever be owing them for what they did. Obviously, you know, it's not a cheap sport, especially in England, with obviously the kit and obviously the fees just to train, and then, you know, traveling around the country to play, and obviously around the world once you get a little bit older. I can't say enough good things about my parents. Obviously they sacrificed a lot for me, and obviously my brother playing football as well. And I think we'll both be forever paying them back for that.
And one last wee bit, when you came to the Giants, I remember Taff telling me a story that you were shocked when you seen your name on your sticks.
Yeah, I haven't got them this year though.
I noticed that.
Okay, a couple of ones. Quick fire from Twitter. Andrea Owens says, "What's your guilty pleasure pop song? Does anything spring to mind there?"
Pop song, or more of a rap guy myself. But
oh, nice. So there's probably a few guilty pleasures in there too.
I don't know, pop song. I actually got to go see Ed Sheeran when a few years back. That was pretty cool. So maybe between Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber, I've seen him.
Oh, nice.
I don't know I don't know what song I've got right now, but
me and Cesar are literally just shaking our heads.
I'd say that's guilty enough for quite a lot of the listeners, to be fair. Alex McLaughlin says, "Who's the funniest guy on the roster? You can't say yourself. Who's your standout so far in the locker room?"
God, we actually have quite a few this year. JJ Pickenich, pretty funny. Obviously, you all know Kieran Long; he's funny in his own weird way. I don't know. We have a funny bunch. Laker, Dicko, obviously my roommate, Dicko. We got a funny team. Not me.
And finally, from Aidan McCauley, favorite thing to do in Belfast? Whenever you get a day off, where are you heading?
Well, recently it's just been a lot of golf. We have a lot of golfers in the team. So on days off, which has been very rare to get a day off, we've been golfing a lot.
Nice. Any particular courses?
Cisnos.
No, we got a deal this year with Clonleyboy Golf Club. So thanks very much to them for shortening the boys out. Much appreciated.
No free ads. Patrick.
You're an Arsenal fan, this? No? Somebody sent a message saying who's your favorite. Somebody sent a message and saying who's your favorite Arsenal player? Okay.
That was Maxine from Peterborough.
Who's your favorite Arsenal player?
None of them.
That's kind of counts.
What team do you support?
Tottenham, the only team.
Yeah.
And that's why that question.
You can stay, kid. You can stay.
I'm going to Spurs Stadium on Sunday for the NFL. Really look forward to seeing that. Looks an absolute.
It's unbelievable, Paddy. We were at Mahookie, me and Taff went last year just before lockdown, like a week before lockdown. Remember?
Yeah.
And it was the day that Villa were playing in the cup final. So Pelle, Bobby Farnham, Longer, and
Villa fans.
Hammy, basically they all went to Wembley. Like, we had a brilliant night out in London after that.
Yeah, good crap.
Yeah. Looks like a brilliant stadium. Really looking forward to going to it. Okay, well, what I would say is you got Fife twice this weekend. It's been Dundee and Fife for the last couple of weeks. Have you been looking on around the league, just enviously thinking, you know, who we're going to take on next? Has anybody caught your eye?
To be honest, I'm not really one for looking at other teams or like seeing their roster. I mean, it's tough to, you kind of see names, but you know, unless you've played against them, it's tough to really say. So I'm sure the teams that you would expect to have a good team, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, those kind of teams will be good games. But other than that, I mean, like I said, I don't really look into it. We just focus on what I can do for Belfast. And then obviously, you know, as long as our team's doing well, it doesn't really matter what anyone else brings to the table.
Hookie, there's been a lot of chat, really, to be honest. I've been sort of pushing the agenda myself as well, but you have come back to Belfast this season, I would say a brand new player. You know, for anyone who followed your development and your career so far, obviously your previous season in Belfast, there was sort of notable strides forward in your feet. You were getting so much faster, so much more agile. I feel that after the break, and obviously you got game time in the streaming series and whatever else, you're back with just, you know, massive improvements in just your hands as well, your eye for goal, whatever else. Has there been any sort of difference to how you've prepared yourself coming in? Is it something that you've been focusing on? And what are you putting your current sort of form down to?
I don't really know. I think my first year in Belfast, coming from Milton Keynes, like a lower end team, it was kind of a big eye opener, and it took me probably the whole season to like adapt and figure out what my role within Belfast was going to be like, and obviously to play for, you know, one of the best teams in the league. So then I think me and Keith had a chat midway through the second season, and kind of, you know, we kind of put a plan together what I could work on, the things that I would do well, if I worked on those, what I could do well and what I could bring to the table, using my speed, being more physical, you know, hunting pucks down and trying to possess the puck down in the offensive zone, to then create chances for some of the guys that, you know, would score goals. And then I kind of just focused on that. And I think since that day that me and Kiefer had that chat in the second year, it's kind of been a lot clearer that, you know, when I could turn up to training, just to focus on those things. And I think, you know, as long as you come every day and work hard and try and get that 1% better, it all comes back around to you. And I think that's, you know, started to do that this year with a couple goals early doors. And I think that's only just, yeah, I think it's just a big collective of obviously the last 18 months, 2 years probably, obviously, when we had that chat, and just kind of figuring out what my game was about, really.
With the World Championships at the end of this year, the World Championships gone past and going out with them, and you know, how exciting is the prospect of possibly getting into that team again, and you know, obviously Kiefer there as one of the coaches, and making sure that, you know, that you're always in the play to be in that squad.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. It was on probably the top of my list for 3 or 4 years, probably ever since GB under 20s, to get into the first team. I think it's every kid's dream to play for the senior national team, but then, yeah, like you said, it's well enough doing it once, but then it's the next job is to stay in that team, and every year, you know, getting that team, just because you was in it the year before doesn't automatically mean you're in it the next season. You kind of got to prove yourself and prove why and what you can actually do for that 3 or 4 weeks while you're with GB. Why are they going to take you, and what are you going to bring to that team that someone else maybe won't? So again, that's kind of what I'm just focusing on, is what I can do for the team. And obviously it starts with what I can do with this season with Belfast, and then we'll just see where we are when that team gets selected.
Well, the season has obviously started very well for yourself, and long may that continue. Thanks for joining us, mate. Good luck this weekend against Fife.
Thanks,
Sergey.
Thanks.
Cheers,
Sergey.
Cheers.
Bye. Great to have Lewis Hircon. Big thanks to him. Joel, I'm going to hand over to you. We're going to run through a bit of news.
Yeah, Paddy, I think this is probably the portion of the show where we take a look at sort of results over the weekend, a few sort of standout results. In the Challenge Cup last weekend on Saturday, there were wins for Cardiff, for Sheffield and for Dundee. Devils beating Guildford 3-0, Sheffield coming out on top of Manchester 5-3, and the Stars in a 6-1 win at Kirkcaldy. The only league game that night was Nottingham and Coventry. That was the Premier Sports game of the week. It wasn't. Apologies, that was on Sunday. Nottingham dropping by 5-2 to Coventry. Sunday then in the Challenge Cup, Nottingham beat Manchester by 7-3 in Aldringham. And then in the league, the Premier Sports game of the weekend was the Coventry Blaze and Sheffield Steelers, in which the Sheffield had a 2-1 shootout win. Also in the league that night, Cardiff beat Fife 5-1, so a tough start for the Flyers. Did any of you see the Premier Sports game of the week, that Sheffield-Coventry game?
I saw some of the highlights of it. I thought considering the position that Coventry are in, I thought, for Sheffield to come back into it like that and get that win. I saw that our good friend of the show, Mark Hitchcock, who seems to be in and out of love with hockey and as much as he changes his socks, was very pleased to go on to the Elite League Facebook site and share about how delighted he was at Sheffield winning it. But Sheffield are going to be an interesting one. They've been shouting a lot about how they're an AHL team, an AHL standard team, and obviously the results against the likes of Cardiff and Coventry, they're wanting to have that sort of standard, but. Interesting to see what they do. Nottingham, I find interesting as well. Obviously, a thumping win over Manchester, despite the fact they were only 2-1 against the Dundee Stars. It's great that, from a personal point of view, says, I don't know if you agree with this, but the fact that we're getting into a bit of we're getting to warm up for the league, I guess, with this Challenge Cup action. Coming back to the conversation, this is the point we tried to make earlier. It's actually only one team is eliminated from the. From the Challenge Cup, so the top team goes through. So it's an easy competition for us to sort of warm ourselves into league action.
Yeah, again, but you want to finish top to get your pick of who you want to pick for the next round. And then again, it doesn't always work out when you do pick the, if it's first versus eighth seed, and it just doesn't always work out that way. So I think you're right, Paddy. It's a matter of when we get the opportunity there to. Not have a chance to do any preseason games due to the pandemic, which is playing havoc with obviously getting the doors open at the arena. It took a bit of time to work out. Obviously doing the challenge, and Steve's a big supporter of that. He always likes to try and get the Challenge Cup games out of the way anyway. So I think we're 3-1 so far. I don't think anybody can complain about that. And we've got our big chance this weekend to work hard and trying to get north 4 points against the Fife Flyers, because they are having a tough at the minute.
Just another shout on that Premier Sports game. Really, really cool thing. I have to give a shout out to EIHL referee Matt Rose, who was mic'd up for that game. Some absolutely brilliant clips coming out on socials. He's in my Formula One Fantasy League, and he's a much better referee than he is a Formula One team manager. But shout out, Rosie. That was a decent addition to the Premier Sports. Their next game, actually, there's no games this weekend, but their next game is actually Coventry against our good selves in the Sky Dome on the 17th of October. Elsewhere, Paddy, in TV news, there was obviously the announcement this week that Free Sports are going to be covering three of the GB Women's Olympic qualifiers. So go back to something Davey said a couple of weeks ago on the show. Fantastic to see that sort of wider representation of the women's game. They're going to be covering Iceland on Thursday, Slovenia Friday, and Korea on Sunday of this weekend. But it's great to see the same way that football is going, the women's game is becoming more and more of a spectator sport. It's lovely to see that that's going that way for the women's game in hockey here too.
And I see a lot of former players or current players and former players coming out on like social media pushing that direction. I see that Liam Kirk was on earlier as well, pushing people in the direction to sort of give them their support. And, you know, it's not before time with the women's game at any level gets this sort of support and more part of them, especially getting on Free Sports, which is fantastic.
Says, have to ask you about Lyndon Springer. You've probably noticed that he is the worst player in the world and everyone hates him. He's really, really under the skin of the Sheffield Steelers. I don't know if either of you saw the hip check on Martin Latal, the sort of hit to the knee, which got him a 2 for roughing and a 5+ game for interference. No dops on that as of yet. Did you see that hit, Says? What do you reckon?
Yeah, it was a bit late. Well, it wasn't a bit late. It was very late, but you know, you've already mentioned he likes to get under people's skin, and fair play there, wasn't it? Jonathan Phillips stepped up and dropped the ball to him after that. You know, Jono's not a fighter, but he's a proper leader. Like, you know, he stood up to take one for the team there, and a team full of Jonathan Phillips should be doing a good thing, and he's fair play to him. Springer's a big boy, but let's be honest, like, you know, he is what it is.
Jonathan Phillips, a man that Matt Rose had a bit of thing with regards to you mentioning it there. He says, you're around long enough to know better.
He called him dude as well, which he's going to get plenty of stick for. Yeah. Doesn't work in that accent, Rosie. I'm sorry, mate. Elsewhere, just sticking with the Sheffield Steelers, Barry Brust, who caused quite a few waves in preseason, got his first start as a Sheffield Steeler, came out after two periods with the Steelers 5-1 up against Manchester in the Challenge Cup. He made 19 saves out of 20 shots, so don't judge a book by its cover, boys. What do you say?
Didn't say it.
Well, obviously, but Barry Bruce looks like I know a lot of people shouting about Mike Torsia with regards to his physical look, you know, and if that's the way it is, it'd be interesting to know if the Sheffield Steelers expected him to come in that shape, because the photographs of the shape he's coming in looks like he is maybe a stone overweight. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if how much game time he's going to get, or is he going to be put through some sort of big regime to get him down to fighting weight? Because I'd be stunned if that's the ship they expected him to come in.
Two other stories for me this week, boys. You probably saw that Brandon McNally is on the sort of long-term injury reserve for Cardiff, and they have moved to bring in Andreas Valdix, formerly of this parish, played for Sheffield and the Milton Keynes Lightning. He spent last season in the German third tier and has apparently been back in, is he Swedish or Finnish? I can't remember, but he's been back home training, trying to find a team. So I think he's not available for tomorrow night, but I think Cardiff are going to meet him on the way to play Lugo Roma in the Champions Hockey League. But that also seemed to sort of rattle a few Sheffield cages to see Valdix in a Cardiff shirt.
Yeah, well,
he's a good player. I mean, he was always solid for the Steelers and but then he played a season at Milton Keynes.
Yes.
He did, yeah.
So, I mean, they came there. The Devils for me, they've got a lot of good players this year, but they're a lot older, than what we are anyway, and a lot of our teams as well. So Valdix, no idea what age he is. I'm guessing he's probably 33, 34. So I don't really care. You know, it is what it is until we play them, and once we play them, then I'll look at their rosters. I haven't got a clue. I've just looked at five. So I haven't commented on five yet. So I started to look at their roster today.
I'm more amused by the fact that Sheffield Steelers fans are upset about it, or showing a sort of like emotion towards Valdix. The sooner they come to realize that the Cardiff Devils are their sister club, the better. You know, the amount of times they've shared coaches, they've shared owners, they've shared players. It's only a matter of time before they just play out of one rink.
At Patrick Smith on Twitter, Smith with a Y, if you'd like to give him any feedback on that. And last thing, boys, in terms of league news this week, how awesome was it to see young McKenzie, Max Stewart, over training with the Leeds Knights under Dave Whistle? Obviously, the son of Giants legend Rob Stewart, Dave Whistle, the first Giants head coach, Jackson's dad. He trained on Thursday, and apparently, I don't know if you know more than me on this, Sis, but they kept him on for the weekend. He played the Bison and the Raiders, and they got two wins. Looking good for Mac.
Yeah, no, he's playing away and then home on Sunday away against the Bison on Saturday. They were short. I think Matty Davis had signed for Leeds, and I'm not too sure if he had a work commitment or if he was injured, but they asked wee Mac to stay on. But look, it's not just Mac. Mac Stewart and Kel Beattie have been training with a chance now all season. You know, Kel's agreed and he has been playing with the Solway Sharks as well. We talked about, you know, kids getting the opportunity. They're getting the opportunity. You know, they've been training with the boys, and it's only going to make them better players. So Mac is a really smart kid. You know, he's doing his A levels and all at the minute, but hockey wise, he's really intelligent. Good skater, sees the ice really well. He's very small, but you know, I think he picked up a couple of assists, maybe three assists on Sunday night. And then again, Kel Beattie. He's playing for Solway. My ex-mate, well, my mate, he's the head coach there at the minute. Spud Grubb and Jamie Thompson's on the bench as well. So they'll look after him. Again, Spud Grubb's in the under-20 GB squad. Or sorry, coaching under-20 GB squad. So he knows what he's about. And he has called Kel up to the under-20. He's only 17. So he obviously likes what he sees as well. So look, long may I continue. I think the Carter and Cameron Hamill, they signed for Dundee, so I think it's just the NSNL for Dundee. But again, like, more power to them. The kids, if they get a chance to go away and play, absolutely take the chance. You just never know where it's going to lead to, and I wish them the best of luck.
And this also comes on the back of last week when we were talking to Andrew Dixon and him saying, you know, that there are kids coming through, there is talent coming through, the likes of Mac, the likes of Kel, who are going to get these chances and are going to. It's great to see Mac going over there. And you know, there's been quite a few years now. I know that I bumped into Rob Stewart at Manchester Airport a few times when he's on his way back from seeing Mac play at various points in England. You know, the kid's got something, and considering he was, I remember seeing him as about this tall, skating out at the. A testimonial. Was it his dad's testimonial? Like,
yeah, on Paxton Shildy's shoulder. Remember,
you know what I mean. And now we're talking about a kid who's making waves at Leeds and really getting that chance. And more power to him, more power to Kel and the guys up in Dundee. And you know, I think it's fantastic to see, because I had a conversation this weekend. A conversation a week ago, one of the guys I play football with here in Manchester, and he was asking about, you know, local representation in the club and players coming through, and said about how, you know, that's going to take time, and we are going to see the fruits of that eventually. And we're okay, we've been a club for 20 years, but it's getting that right and getting that out, and this could be us seeing the fruits of that, to get the kids who are going to North America, the kids who are getting chances in the NIHL and the SNL, and hopefully that comes to pass. And we'll see a Belfast Giants shirt with Alexa Stewart on the back once again. Maybe unretire that number, get it off the bridge.
Be incredible. Be absolutely incredible. I think it just means more for me anyway, personally. We've all seen Mike Ronan about since he was a wee tote. He's been around the arena since he was born with his dad. And that amazing image of him on Paxton Schulte's shoulders, that's to his testimonial. It would be absolutely sensational to one day see another Stewart wear that 16 for Belfast. It would just be dream stuff.
Fabulous stuff, right? Let's thanks for that, Joel. We're going to move it on just finally to look at the fixtures this weekend, and it's pretty simple. We only play one team, and we play them twice away on Friday to the Fife Flyers, 7:30 p.m. at Fife Ice Arena. If you're not going, I'd love to tell you if there's a webcast, but I don't know. There wasn't the last time, so keep an eye out. Keep an eye, AVFTB, and we'll let you know once we find out. Who knows? I haven't kept track on Fife to see. They've only played two games, so I don't know if they've got it set up yet. But that's 7:30 p.m. on Friday. There is a webcast, but you should be getting yourself down to the SSE Arena at 4 p.m. on Sunday for the return fixture as Todd Doodian brings his Fife Flyers into Belfast for the first time.
There's no webcast on Sunday yet, Paddy.
Is there not?
I'm only joking.
Stop that.
Hold on.
We'll be live, mate. We'll be live.
Yep, at 4 p.m. on Sunday at the SSE Arena. Just quickly says this Fife team, you know, they've only played two and haven't won any yet. There's a few ructions in, two in the Challenge Cup, not won any yet. There's a few ructions in Fife about whether the team are ready or what Todd Doom's put together. What do you think? What are we expecting?
I said it last week, you know, they were down a couple of imports. We beat them 5-1 and then, didn't you say Dundee, or sorry, Cardiff beat them 5-1 as well? Mm-hmm. And then Dundee beat them as well the weekend. So, look, they just haven't got going. But you just never know. I mean, Shane Owen has played three games for them. And my understanding is he's had three man-of-the-match performances. So that sort of tells you something. He's conceded, I think it's 16 goals, and he's had three man-of-the-match performances. So, you know, it's maybe about time for some other players to step up. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully maybe it's the following week to start to step up. You know, look, we talk about it all the time, and, you know, like put the foot in the throat and keep her lit and try and, you know, get a good lead. And then, you know, if you need to rest boys up, rest them up. But the bottom line is it's never easy to go into Fife. You know, it's a tight, tight building. The facilities aren't fantastic. But the boys have got to prepare properly. Adam will have them ready to go on Friday night. They didn't have a particularly good game. Certainly not a good result anyway on Sunday in Dundee. But this time it's a wee bit further. You know, it's not as far as Dundee, obviously, but you get your it's a 7 o'clock face-off. So you get that couple of hours maybe to rest up and possibly get a nap at the team hotel. So hopefully they're ready to go. And then Sunday back at the SSE Arena. And as I say, hopefully we can pick up those 4 points.
Shane Owen back in Belfast. I think pads. I think he's still wearing Jan's coloured pads last time I saw when he came in, Joe.
He wore five pads for like a year.
Yeah, it's not. There's a lot of issues. It's not just food and Marks and Spencers, and it's not just, you know, lorry drivers that are short on things at the minute. There's a lot of hockey equipment that's coming in short. I know some of the boys, the goalies here, are waiting a few times that maybe a little bit longer than what they should do as well. But it's just the tail endless pandemic coming around, and you know, hopefully it's I don't really care if he's wearing the Jans gear or not. Hopefully, you know, as long as he's, you know, if he's in the net, then I'd like to wish him the best of luck. Always a good guy. But, you know, I'm not going to wish him the best of luck against us.
Joe?
Yeah, look, it's you're looking at a team who shipped 11 goals and only scored two last weekend, you know, against Dundee and against Cardiff Devils. I mean, that's a tough enough opening weekend. You know, you're going to be looking for a response to that. And there's no better place to do it than in Kirkcaldy. As Sis says, it's a venue that suits them and really only them. You've got a really intense sort of fan base that are right on you. You know, that away bench is literally about a foot away from the supporters. And Fife's always been one of my favourite away days in the league because it does have that kind of football atmosphere, to be honest. It's a bit more raw and a bit more needly. And I quite like it like that. But, you know, look, you never know that it's early season. You've got teams that are made up of guys who played last year, guys who didn't, people at various stages of match fitness. It could go either way. And as you said earlier, Paddy, this is a great time for every team to be ironing out sort of any creases in their game and getting themselves up to match speed, because we've got, what, three wins banked in the Challenge Cup group already. And, you know, it's not hard to get out of that group. Your work's almost done. So I'm happy just to keep seeing us develop.
Belfast in Fife Friday at 7:30 p.m. at Fife Ice Arena. If you're not making the trip over, we'll let you know if there's a webcast once we find out there is. Paddy, a
the one thing about Fife, you know, sorry for interrupting, the one thing about Fife is it's never easy to go into. You know, you're playing against your old goalie. You know, old goalies like to try and prove a point. He did not play well. They think he played particularly well against us. I didn't necessarily think that was the case, but you know, if OE comes up with a performance, he's got an opportunity there to keep us quiet. If he gets the support of his teammates, and that makes it even harder for us as well. But it's a tough, tough place to go into. The best thing about Fife is the ice. I mean, let's be honest, the rest of the facilities are brutal. But the ice itself is always good. I used to love playing in Fife for the ice. But as I say, it's a cold, cold rink. I used to wear, you know, double undergarments and you know, try and get yourself wrapped up and maybe a polo neck and like a nice wee collar when it was basically on the bench as well. It is freezing in that building. So hopefully the boys pick up the heat early.
You know, I've not been in that building since they caved and put plexi up. Can't believe this.
I remember playing in Fife and I was wearing a cage. It was probably only about 17 or 18. And I'm pretty sure the Fife Flyers played the Murrayfield Racers the night before, but we got there early
We watched that game against the Murrayfield Racers. Tony Ham was playing for the Racers, and Frank Morris for the Flyers. It was the atmosphere, just the way you said about Joel, about the atmosphere and the place. It was absolutely rocking. And then we played the Kirkcaldy Kestrels the next morning. And I can't remember who it was hit me, but one of the guys hit me behind the net. Used to be wood, you know, the boards were, you know, let's just say they were solid, concrete backs on them. But the netting, they had my wee tag on my head, my face cage, and I caught in the net. And I couldn't get away. I was trying to, the net was coming at me. I was wondering why somebody kept on putting me back. And when I turned around, it was a netting. I was right beside where there used to be a wee guy sitting right behind the net, and he did the shots on goal. And he's only just had a wee box in the seat to sit on with a red light above him. And he was sitting there laughing his balls off. And I'm trying to get away from him. He's sitting pointing at me going, "You absolute donkey." But that's what it is. It's got great character about it, but it's a cold, cold rink.
It is. And the Belfast Giants are in there Friday night, 7:30 p.m. And then back to Belfast on Sunday, 4 p.m. at the SSE Arena. Get yourself down there. And if you can't, Mr. Kitchen will be joined by?
Don't know yet. I'm hoping I have to go and scramble to get somebody. I'd love to see, you know, all the boys back on the ice again. I don't honestly don't know who I'm gonna try and nab the gallery, but we'll get somebody.
Yeah, somebody on Giants, Belfast Giants TV. Check that out. Any other business, gentlemen?
The only thing for me is Rainer's running charity total is up to 5,123 as of today, which is phenomenal. Those are for mental health charities here at home and back in Canada as well. I think that doesn't include, obviously, the running total from everyone who committed through Davies' initiative. Besco certainly cost me a tenner last weekend, so I'm sure that total will be way, way up there by the end of the season. Also, hit up Rainer's socials, for doing some great stuff with Edge Coffee, one of the new Giant sponsors. There's £100 worth of coffee and a lunch with the man himself going as some of the prizes. So go check that out. But well done, Rainer. Well done, Davey, for jumping on the back of it and doing something really special there.
Couldn't get used to watching him on Friday with no hair coming out the
back. Not right, is it?
I found myself actually checking the number to choose. He skates like Rainer, but there's something not there.
It's not right.
I've been watching it as well. It's difficult to pick him up, you know, because we'd be so used to him with the long flowing locks. And now Boucher's got the long flowing locks, so it's easy to pick him out. But, you know, it is difficult to try and pick Rainer, especially when he, you know, most of the first and second period, you don't really get to see the back of the shirt because it's 22. And then, you know, he's a wee bit, you know, better built than Griffin Reinhardt, but it's 22 and 23, and it is difficult to try and pick up who's what. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hopefully and we can get up there. You know, he's trying to get a target of £10,000, and I'd really love to see him try and reach that. I've only got one thing. Jim Gillespie was supposed to be at the match last Friday night, but he wasn't feeling too good. And I know he's still. We met with Paddy, myself, you, and Davey met Mitzi, and we're way on the way down to the locker room. And Mitzi was, you know, she was there and watching the game itself. But hopefully Jim's on the mend, and we'd love to see him at the arena soon. And obviously we've got that game on Sunday. Hopefully he can make that. But just wishing well wishes to Mr. Jim Gillespie.
You're here.
Fantastic. And one more thing, just a congratulations to Amy McLean, who did the London Marathon virtually and walked it through on Sunday.
Incredible.
It's obviously Ethan's bigger sister, brilliant, brilliant initiative for her and the brilliant achievement to get through those 26 miles. And
can I see you running on Sunday in Belfast?
I went for a run on Sunday morning and ran to the bottom of my dad's street to find the Belfast Marathon going by, and I thought, sure, let's join in. So I ran in the Belfast Marathon for a couple of miles, and then I saw my mate Marty McAllister, who was doing the relay, and stopped and chatted to him, and then ran home again. That was some crack. It's like, hey, well, you know, may as well just join the marathon for the crack.
Did you do park run on Saturday morning, Patrick, after a few Belfast finest libations?
I absolutely did not do park
run. He was talking so big on his way out the door. I'll be up in the morning, I'll be doing park run. I was like, all right.
I took the opportunity to have a lie in. When you've got two young children, Joel, as you will soon know, but when you have two young children, you get an opportunity to have a lie in. You take it. So that's what I did. Anyway, that's where we're going to wrap all this up, gents. As I said, two games against Fife, Friday, 7:30 p.m. and at home at the SSE Arena against your Belfast Giants. The Fife Flyers come in on Sunday at 4 p.m. Get yourself down there, get yourself a ticket, because hockey is back in town. And if you can't, Belfast Giants TV with Mr. Kitchen and some guest who will remain nameless until he finds out who it is himself. Big thank you to Jeff Baum, Tyler Bescarani, Adam Keith, Lewis Hook, of course, for coming on, and Robert Fitzpatrick for his time. Also, thanks to Dundee Stars TV and Giants TV for the footage earlier on YouTube. Thank you very much to you two gentlemen. Hope you're keeping well. Look forward to seeing you again. Enjoyed seeing you on Friday. Get us at AVFTB on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, and at kingdomofthegiants.com. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Podcast Network.